Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Say, it is good to be sitting next to you. A person on the other side, a rejection complex. This is church, people. Be kind. So good. If you don't know their name, learn their name.
What's your name?
Please. Oh, you're married. I think that was a joke. Okay. 11 a.m. Who's had eggs and bacon? Well, my hand's not up. I have not had eggs and bacon. Weet-Bix. The breakfast of champions. Right there. Weet-Bix.
How many do you do?
Three, right. Morning, don't we? So good, so good. We had an amazing earlier service, and I feel like this one's going to be no different. It's like a reasonably almost full house at the 11 a.m. service, and 9 was actually packed. And what's with the new chairs? Like, sleep-inducing. So I've got my eyes on you. No sleeping during the word. Except for the people that have had bacon and eggs. They're feeling very sluggish. I should probably preach the word, shouldn't I? as Pastor Mel very eloquently informed us all, Easter's nearly coming. If you haven't figured that, you've been under a rock. Let me let you know, Easter's nearly coming. And isn't it a stunning time of year for Christians all over the world where we gather around this intentionality to do, and everything that he's purchased for us at the cross. We celebrate the cross, we celebrate the resurrection, and we let that do a deep work in our life at Easter. I love that song we've been singing recently, "The cross still stands, the blood still flows. The work is finished and hell, the grave is empty." Amen? Is that not an Easter song? Does that not just like charge your spirit? You know, when you're like, these are eternal, stood for the 2,000 plus years since Jesus was incarnate. They're not just cool concepts. They're not just nice ideas. They're transformative. Leaves. Amen? Amen? So in a couple of weeks, we have our services, and I pray you've, you know, heeded the word of Pastor Mel, you know, that you're thinking, you're praying about who you can invite, who you can. Are always so special. And in all of this thinking about Easter, we do definitely also want to have a conversation. You know, it's all very well and good for us to have a glory time in the church. It's all very well and good for us to celebrate our own transformation. We must always be thinking about those who do not yet know Jesus. Right now, today, how much suffering is out there right now. Think about how much pain and sin and addiction and shame is of darkness. Think about it. Like, let yourself go there. And they don't know a savior that they know that can rescue them from this terror, this torment, this pit. They've not encountered mercy. The United Nations Church does not want to be the kind of church that is content to have a glory time for ourselves, but forget about them. So we have this mandate to see the line ourselves that we are about reaching those far from God. And we lean into that at different times of the year, but especially at Easter. And the truth is, Easter can be quite unsettling. Is it okay to get a bit real in church today? You know, for some of us, at least some of the time, the idea of like sharing the gospel, sharing our testimony, it can be like a legitimate struggle within ourselves. Like, we absolutely took a survey, probably all say that there is a desire to reach those who are far from God. We would probably fundamentally all agree that it is a good idea to reach those who are, to actually get involved with it. We can struggle to actually see our own lives activated because in actual fact, it can be quite an intimidating process for us. It can turn all tension. That we know we should do it. We feel that we should do it, but we don't really want to do it. Maybe I'm just the only. We feel like perhaps we don't know how to do it, or perhaps we're too scared to do it. And so if we attempt to do it, it can often be out of a sense of obligation or out of a duty rather than something that is free or something that is natural. And that is when you end up with the awkward moments, the dry throat moments, strange looks, and there's the thanks but no thanks. You do you, boo. You know, like, you know, those rejections that come to us that put us off. And am I right? My prayer for us all today as we leave this place is that that cycle within us would break. Amen. All tensions in this whole area of evangelizing would be relieved by the Holy Spirit, you know, and that a sense of religious duty or any relation to this whole area of evangelism, that would be broken and eliminated, and that reaching those far from God would begin to be something that bubbles up out and naturally rather than obligatory. How does that sound? Let's go after that today. I think one of the ways we can come into that what Jesus wants to do through you to reach those around you, it is closely like he does in you. That's why I've called this message in you and through you. In you and through you. Turn to your neighbor and say, in you and through you. In you and through you, because the two are inextricably linked. And I think sometimes we've reached for the Lord to do something through us without considering the work he's done in us. We kind of separated the two, as if evangelism, religious box, you know, and it's up there on the shelf something somewhere, and it's independent of other things, and the really good Christians, and they open it and they actually go about sharing the gospel. They're the really holy ones. They're the ones with the gold star. They're the ones that Jesus really loves. Anybody ever thought a thought like that, you know? But let me tell you, that is a religious mindset. It's a works mindset. And if we enter, that's when we're going to run into trouble. That's when we'll start beating ourselves up and working harder in our own strength. And we try and reach those far from God to fulfill our religious of it. It's sucked dry and the power is sucked out of it. And you probably hate it and they're not touched and everybody loses. Come to church. It's very encouraging. No. A better way is to understand that the work that God does in you is also the work that he intends to work through you and manifest. Jesus sent out his 12 disciples and he said to them, freely you have received, so freely give. Of in you and through you, freely you have received, so freely give. So they were equipped to give out of what from Jesus. Think about it. These 12 had been with Jesus. They'd journeyed with Jesus. They'd traveled with Jesus. They'd learnt from Jesus and life with him out of what he'd done in them. That became the basis of what they now had to give through them to the world around them. You see, Paul, you can't give out of what you don't have. If you don't have it, how do you expect to give it? Right? Have you ever been? You stopped at a red light and there's a homeless person with a cardboard sign and they're asking for money. And perhaps your heart fills with compassion, with empathy. We're in such a cash-free society, you don't even have a dollar. Has anyone ever been there? You don't have a single cent on you. Like, actually, I want to give anything. It's a principle. You can't give what you don't have. You know, even if you want to, even if there's a desire, if it's not in you, it actually can't. It's the same with evangelism. You can't share the testimony you don't have. You can't tell of the grace that you haven't experienced in life if you're yourself not living it. Amen? You know, so 1 John 4:19 shares a very similar idea. It says, we love, first loved us. Again, you can hear this language of in you and through you. We love because he first loved known. It's that love that we've encountered. It's that love we've experienced and been transformed by. These things become the basis of the love that then flows. And you can't manufacture that by works. You can't huff and puff enough. You know, you can't stress them. I can't stand them. You can't do it in your own strength. Love has to do a work in you, right? And then you're going to be well placed for love to do a work through you to those around you. So the in you and through you conversations are not dissations. They're not distinct compartments, but they're connected. The work that the Lord has done in you and is doing in you even right now, that testimony that he intends to pour through you so that you can reach, so that you can minister out of. 2 Corinthians says, we comfort others. You see this principle over and over again, in you, through you, in you, through you. So if evangelism here today is a struggle for your life, that's obligatory and you feel yourself recoiling from it, here I want to say this to you in church today, don't try harder. The 11 a.m. service, don't try harder. Don't put in a grand effort of the flesh. Just give yourself a break. Don't try and count, but actually, you know, share the gospel. Don't do that. There is a better way if you're struggling. If you're struggling, invite the Lord's Spirit to come and do a work in you. A deeper revelation of mercy. Amen. A deeper experience for your own life, your own situation. The mercy of God, of the freedom of God, of the breakthrough of God. Because as you receive, you'll feel more equipped to give. Amen? Touch your heart at a deeper, deeper level. You'll notice it bubbling up from your heart. Because I promise you this, where there's an experience, where there's an encounter. Amen? If you've had an experience, if you've had an encounter, well, now I've got a story to tell, amen? It's so much better, life of the Spirit, and actually done away with that sense of religious drudgery, amen? And that's what we want to come into, in you and. Also really important to note that in you and through you aren't like stage one and stage two. You know, you don't have to wait till you can age before you can move to the through you stage. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that at all. In you and through you happen together. They happen continually. They happen. Neither process should ever end in the life of the believer, because what he did in you yesterday, he intends to work through you today. And we can work through you tomorrow. You know, that's how come the brand new believer who knows next to nothing of the Word of God, next to nothing about the movement I've just met, they can still tell of the encounter they just had. Like, do they need to grow? Absolutely. But what the Lord has done in them, absolutely. Absolutely. He can and he does. But the idea is that the process is organic and a flow. In you, through you, in you lies, but the flow of the Spirit in you, through you, working together all the time, side by side, and neither process ending in the life. As long as you've been a Christian in this place, it's still always in you and through you. I don't believe we ever graduate from the work of the Lord in us. I don't believe we ever graduate, or we should never graduate from the work of the Lord through us. Amen. Amen. Perpetual processes in our walk. Who was here for Vision Sunday when PK spoke to the whole church? Most of you. He shared his word for the year that in 2025 was going to be hallmarked by this word, believe. Believe. That this year as a church, we're actually deepening. It's a multifaceted thing. It's not just about believing for, but it's also about deepening our beliefs about who we believe in and what we believe about who we believe. Superficial, shallow church. We don't want to fall away in a time of testing. So this invitation to go deeper. And a great way to think about this deepening belief in, you can tell a whole lot about the maturity of the plant by the size and the depth of its roots. Can you not? You know, the question about a plant is never roots. They all have roots. If they don't have roots, it's not a plant. It's twigs. It's a branch or something like that. The question is not, does it have roots? How established are the roots? You know, the answer to that question is going to give you a great indication of maturity, the maturity of the plant. Let's put up that first picture. Plant. And it's got little tiny baby roots. We know about this, that there's no maturity there because there's no depth there. And let's be honest, this little guy, there's no impact here. There's no shade or security or shelter or fruitfulness here. There's nothing fundamentally wrong with it. It just needs to go door. But I want you to compare that with the next picture, an enormous tree with these buttress roots, the size of which you can't really climb over. Small dudes, you know, like, you know, they're big guys. And this tree, think about it, it has so much to give, does it not? This is a tree of impact, fruitfulness, whatever. You know, and I want to say, let this be a prophetic picture of our lives in the Lord. Let this be like a picture of our lives spiritually. Every single Christian has belief. If you have no belief, well, you're not a Christian, because salvation comes by faith. That's the only wise, and by his grace. We know that scripturally. So you have to have belief. The question is not, do you have belief? It's how deep are those beliefs? How sure are those beliefs? And there's this invitation for us corporately, individually, go deeper, mature in the Lord, grow in the Lord. And this deepening belief conversation from the evangelism conversation, do you understand? Because as we corporately and individually allow God to go deeper in us, spiritually speaking, as we become like that of impact, we will be a people, I believe, I hope, I pray, who are strong and secure in the Lord and who are living that's plain and obvious for the whole world around us to see, amen? That what he does in us corporately, he also intends to do through us. A lot in you, Port Kennedy, recently. He's doing things in you. It doesn't stop here. The intention of God is that it would be through you. Isaiah 61 is prophetic literature, and it speaks to us about the work and the ministry of Jesus Christ. And if you listen carefully to 61, you'll see it's not just in us, but it's also through us. Let's read together verse 3. To comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Is that not us? Has anyone ever been given beauty for ashes? Oil of joy for mourning? Yeah, praise the Lord. I feel like someone's getting their hanky out. Yes, that's me. That says, this is what it accomplishes. They will be called the oaks of righteousness. Amen. Not the saplings of righteousness, reed of righteousness, but the oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Amen. Oaks do. Verse 4, they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They, these oaks, will restore the places long devastated. They will renew. They will rebuild. They will restore. They will renew. They will see the lost found. They will reach those far from God. They will plant churches. Do I have an amen? Through us, through us, through us, through us. My prayer, my heart, is that what happens in us, as 61, that we would be a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, and that our lives would be used to rebuild and renew in you and through you. When it came to reaching those far from God, when it came to sharing the gospel and evangelizing, it's pretty hard to go past words, was it, of the New Testament, something like that. And one of the chapters where he really shares his heart around reaching is 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. We don't have huge statements in this chapter around like the call to reach people who are far from God. He makes some big statements, like he calls us ambassadors for Christ, street of reconciliation. And I've put in your mouth the word of reconciliation. He says, like, we know the fear of the Lord, so we try and persuade other statements. And right in the middle of that chapter, he says this, verse 14. He says, for Christ's love compels us. Because we're convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. Christ's love compels us, for we are convinced. Are they not some big words? Compelled, convinced, they're powerful words. And we know through reading the just being evangelistic, you know what I mean? He wasn't exaggerating. He really was a man compelled by love. He really was a man convinced with every fiber of his being, his body on the line time and time again to win people, to win cities. This was the Apostle Paul. In fact, the work that the Lord did through him was so extraordinary. Impacted by it today, are we not? We're still talking about it here, these thousands of years later. And I think we can read a scripture like this and get into condemnation because maybe sometimes I'm not really compelled by love. I'm not really always like so convinced that it pushes me to reach those who are far from God. But we need to remember that all those things God did through Paul were never Paul. Like, remember who he was. This guy before Jesus was a murderous persecutor. He was a violent man, but literally arrested him. Like, broke into his life and his world and removed him from this hate-filled, radically set the guy free. Can you imagine? He set, like, Jesus set Paul on a whole new course of living, showed him what his life created for. And Paul speaks over and over about the depth of mercy that he had received, that he had been shown. He had a revelation that he was called by. He had a revelation that had been set apart from his mother's womb. And God sustained him through suffering. God matured him from through in every weakness, and it was a result of all this work in him. He was such a transformed man. Out of that he cries, Christ compels me. Like, it compels me, it drives me. It's so profound inside of me that I cannot not. I can't to allow it to flow through me. Through you is never independent of in you, amen? When it comes to my own life story and this wrestle that I've had in the area of evangelism and contemplating these things for my own self, and let's just be clear, I'm far, far, far be abundantly clear on that today, but I feel like I've had tiny glimpses of this truth. The love of Christ compels me. Like, just little fragments, just share. Maybe you have too in your own life, in your own space. I especially think in my life of the ministry of Heroes Academy. You know, when God first started seeing families who have a child with additional needs, I know you've probably got heroes going on right now as we speak together today. And I promise you, when God started to speak to me about have an amen, you know, it would have been so much easier not to do something in that area, not to extend ourselves, because life was already full on, like real busy, you know, church, not to mention raising our own son with a disability. The very real challenges that existed there, but I just had this moment. So deep had been the work of Jesus in me, particularly surrounding my journey with my disabled son. Like, so deep grief and loss in me. And so deep had he given me a hope for our future, you know? So brought all the fear and all the anxiety to a place of peace. So much so that I kind of felt like, the love of Christ compels me. This passion began to rise up inside of me. I don't want it to just be in me. I don't want it to just be for me, but I would love me to those people who are in need around me. Does anybody feel the same way about your testimony, about what God has done in your life and your heart? Christ compels me. It's in you. And it's through you. It's in you and it's through you. So my question to all as the singers and musos come back and join me. couple of questions. Firstly, this Easter, what might the Lord want to do? But also, what might the Lord want to do through you? You know, not one or the other. Not one or the other. And through you, I know that life can be very challenging. I don't need to be a prophet to know. Some of you might be coming into Easter feeling a little bit dry, feeling a bit busy or a bit distracted, strung out, stressed out. You might be coming towards Easter really in need of a healing, really or some clarity, some direction. Maybe there's pain. And if that's you in any of those categories, it's like, welcome to the club. You know, because life's challenging. And if that's you, I'd say that is okay. Jesus wants to do a fresh work in you. He's got an abundance for you. Bring all that challenge. You can bring all that desire to Jesus. It's Easter. You can ask him for a fresh outworking of mercy and grace and a fresh revelation in you. We need it so much. Don't we need it so much? We need it so much. But let's be a people that in the in you conversation, we don't forget, because there's a world out there who so desperately need the Jesus we have. Amen. Jesus put it like this in John chapter 7. I feel like it so beautifully summarizes everything we've been sharing together just now. John chapter 7, verse 37. It's the Feast of Tabernacles and Jesus was there. And it says, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, just close your eyes, let this word minister. Let anyone who is thirsty come. I say it again. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, of living water will flow from within them. If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Flow rivers of living water. So you come to Jesus and you allow him to do a work in you. Faith, this promise, this word, that as you do so, there's going to be a flow of life through you. That it won't just be in you, that it will also be through you. The work Jesus has to do both in you and through you is abundant. Jesus is not on rations. Glory to God is given without limitation. So do you feel like you got a big need in your life? That's okay. Jesus has got a big grace. A big grace, a big degree of mercy. But in that also, he has a big flow of life that can come through you. It's not one or the other, it is both. Within life are finite. But the resource of heaven, both in you and through you, is limitless. Amen? Without limitation. So why don't you come and receive? Come and receive afresh. Believing that as he does a work in you, that there's going to be a new life-giving thing that starts to flow through you. Your unsaved family, godless workplace, your secular institution, that place of education that's hostile to the gospel. That as he does it in you, that rivers of living water are going to come through you. Not a religious expectation to share, spirit that actually accomplishes great and powerful things right where you are. Amen. In you and through you. Come on, you can stand to your feet all over this place.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.